The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So here's to women today as we continue to celebrate International Women's Day. And on the line, I have Miss Judy Clutchetson, who is CEO of Disruptive Leadership. So let's say good morning to her. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. And how are you?
I am doing amazing.
Great.
Happy International Women's Day to you.
And same to
and
you.
And the women of Trinidad and Tobago.
So first of all, I wanted to ask, who is Judy McClutchinson? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you step into this role as CEO of Disruptive Leadership?
Well, my name is Judy McCutcheon. I am originally from Trinidad and Tobago, but I now live in Grenada. I grew up in Tobago. So growing up in Tobago, I saw a lot of examples of who I did not want to be. And that really pushed me into a different thinking, a different mindset, thinking that I can have more than what I see as being available. And so I really set my mind on wanting more, doing more, wanting better. And as I got further into it, I realized, well, if I could, then my job now is to help other women to really get to that point as well.
Recording in progress.
I wanted to find out from you why the word disruptive, because to the layman's terms, right, it is a negative word. And then you have leadership next to it. Can you describe what that style of leadership is all about? Especially as we think disruptive as making negative changes and disrupting a flow. How does that tie in? And how can you, well, basically, can you explain it?
Mm-hmm. All right. So disruptive in this case is, and I'm going to use your phrase, disrupting the flow of what the status quo is. Traditional leadership, well, leadership as I would have known it growing up, would have been, I would have seen more men in these leadership roles. Mm. And so my thing is, let us disrupt what is so that we can have something better. And for me, when we have women included in leadership, everyone thrives.
And so the idea shouldn't be taken as a negative thing. It should be taken as a positive idea to, as you say, change the way things have been going if they have not been bearing results. So the idea of introducing women to that scenario changes the outlook and helps you think outside of the box.
Yes, it does. And sometimes, too, Tosca, even if things are going how you think they should go, they could always go better.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a mentor who said, you know, break it again and then fix it back.
So in terms of women as disruptive leaders, how can one become a disruptive leader? And what are your tools for success as being a CEO of such an organization?
The first thing is about your mindset. And this particular comment is towards women. Because of how we are socialized, we are socialized to care for everyone else except ourselves. So our socialization takes us outside of who we are. So we don't see from within all the great things that we are capable of doing, being, having. So what I would like women to do is first, let's change the mindset. of thinking, I can't, I am not enough, I don't have enough. So let's change that mindset. That's the first thing that we have to do, because to change anything, we have to change the way that we look at it, think about it, or feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have to view it from a different perspective. So that's the first thing that I want us to know, that we have to change our mindset. Second thing for me is I always knew what I wanted. And I was saying to somebody the other day, I was always bold. I was always very bold. Growing up, my sisters would say to me, why are you so bold?
Mm-hmm.
Because I always asked for what I wanted. Always. So let us ask for the things that we want. There's great power in asking. When women ask for what they want, magic happens. So I want us to know that we have a voice. And we can ask, let's speak up, but not only use our voices for ourselves, but use our voices for those who are voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when we think about, let's say, International Women's Day, sometimes we forget that we have the vulnerable among us. Sometimes we forget that we have those who are differently abled. And so we have to remember, we have to use our voices or the voiceless as well. And then the next thing is we have to be consistent and persistent.
Mm-hmm. Consistency and persistence is
persistency,
the key.
Yes, yeah. It's key. We won't get to where we want to get to unless we are persistent and consistent, because there will be roadblocks. No two ways about it. There will be roadblocks.
You've said a lot of terms within that last answer, which led me to this next question. How does self-esteem play a part in leadership, and what can we do to foster that self-esteem in women who would like to be in the roles of leadership?
Self-esteem plays, I think it's everything. Have you ever seen some people, men or women, who are not quite capable as you are? Mm-hmm. And it could be in any scenario, but they are confident in who they are, so they go after whatever that thing is. Easy a point in case is applying for a job.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all the requirements, and a woman will say, I don't have all those requirements, I'm not going to apply. A man is never going to do that. He's extremely confident that somehow, some way, he's going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is we have to start to believe in ourselves and believe in our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Half the times we doubt our abilities. We have it, but we doubt it. So we have to start believing in who we are, knowing that there is no one else on this face of this earth who can do things just the way you can do it. You can have 10 people building bridges, but there is no one who can do it exactly like you. You are unique. So we have to remember that and believe in ourselves, believe in our abilities. And that is where the self-esteem comes in, and that plays a very big role in how we lead and if we assume leadership positions.
You mentioned earlier on in one of your responses, socialization. What are some of the things you would like to see in that area that would foster the self-esteem that we are discussing right now?
It starts from how we raise our girls. We have to stop raising our girls different than we raise our boys. We have to stop having gender roles. We have to allow our girls to know that they can. So if their thing is to be a mechanic, then support them to be the best mechanic that they could ever be. We want to push our girls into traditional roles, and we have to stop that. Support them. Don't lead them where we want them to go, but lead them in the direction that they want to go where their passion is and just simply support them and dispel with gender roles.
And that would encourage and foster research into these different roles that you are speaking of, you know, referring to, like being a mechanic. That would encourage the, mm-hmm. the young lady to, okay, let me look at the different schools that are available that probably give mechanical engineering as a subject, and look at the mm-hmm. areas that would contribute to moving to be the best mechanic that there is. That entails opening the doors to inclusion. Can you say that in some professions, because it is so called male dominated, that there may be an aversion towards women being in that field? How can we change the narrative where that is concerned?
We have to start with the education system. I mean, it's a big one, but it is where we have to start. How many, when you look at schools and you look at the technical side of things, mm-hmm. how many girls are steered into that direction? You know, we have to look at the school system. I was dealing with a client recently, and they are in the air conditioning business, and they were saying that it's hard to find males, much less females, who are going into that. So the thing is, do we make it known that these careers are available? When mm-hmm. we have career days, do we just have the traditional doctor, lawyer, teacher, that kind of stuff? Or mm-hmm. do we have a broad gamut that would entail all the jobs that's available to everyone? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember my daughter came home and said to me, she told the teacher she wanted to be automotive designer. And the teacher said to her, no, you can't do that. That's for
males. Boys. Yeah, for boys.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we have to change our thinking.
So counseling in terms of employment, jobs, opportunities, or even just setting goals should change, in your opinion, how we look at it, and to open our minds to the possibilities that girls can be included in such careers.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that in 2024, I honestly can't think of any job that is solely gender-based, mm-hmm. because there is none. There's absolutely none. We have put those barriers in place. And because those barriers are put in place by humans, we can remove them, mm-hmm. because they are superficial barriers.
And my final question, what can we do about the language that is used in talking about jobs for women, conflict resolution, and leadership styles? How do you see the language changing, and what can we do to foster that discussion to move forward?
We have to stop. We just have to drop all the terms that it's gender related around jobs. We just have to drop that. So there are no jobs for males, jobs for females. That's the way we have to start changing the narrative as it relates to the language around those things. We have to take out gender from it, and in this case I'm going to include all genders, those who identify as females, those who the whole LGBTQ plus community. We have to remove, when we're talking about it, we can't say well, this is for females. Or when people putting out ads, they say you must be a male in a da 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 da.
So in other words, you're saying make it a generic ad rather than attach a gender to it, so that the person who's truly qualified can apply, whether they be male, female, or however they identify.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That is how we get true inclusion. And we also need to look and see that we have amazing people who are differently abled, who may not be able to come physically into the workplace. How can we include them as part of our work? There's remote work. People are working from anywhere, right? But we don't, we have to include them. We have to think about our workplaces. Is our environment set up
and conducive
for
to
inclusion? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So when we're talking about inclusion and so on, we have to look at the entire, we have to look at the entire thing, right? Because again, we leave out a significant portion of our population who are differently abled than us, and they are not part of the workforce because organizations, when they're thinking and planning, don't consider them.
And that leaves out a bracket, as you said, that we may be losing out on true potential and great gifts and probably further advancements in technology, innovation, new businesses, entrepreneurship. You know, we are kind of shooting ourselves in the foot if it is that we don't change the way in which we do our leadership styles.
You are very, very correct. Leaders, we have to think about, when we think about inclusion, we have to think broad. When we think about diversity, we have to think broad. Right? It's those aren't narrow areas. They're broad areas. So we have to think about, where can we get the very best talent?
And well, this is the last question. I wish we had more time. I know that we started a little late, but I wanted to find out from you, how far do you see progress going if it is that we do change to this type of leadership as your company is making moves to include? And what are some of the things that we need to put in place to, well, as you know, that the economy is I don't want to use the word unstable, but it goes up and down at times. And we have very hard economic times around the world. How can we prepare for that? And how inclusive would be disruptive leadership to move towards a better economic standing for Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, first of all, COVID has shown us that we really can't truly be prepared, but we can put enough things in place so that we are resilient. And one of the things, as we about leadership, is resilience. So we, in our organizations, we have to help our people to be resilient, and we have to have systems and processes in place that are resilient, that could withstand whatever comes. Right? So that's one thing that we really do need to look at. We also need to start investing in ourselves. We have to invest in ourselves. We simply cannot get away from it. We have to invest in ourselves. Our organizations have to invest in us. And from the standpoint of the country, we have to look at our education system and really look at ways that we can do things differently from an education standpoint, and not let it just be the regular, you know, doctor, lawyer, this, that, but have good technical schools, that, because those jobs are really important. So all around, we have to, those, from my standpoint, those are some of the things, not all, but those are some of the things that can help us to become stable. Education is really an important piece of the puzzle.
So let's hope that those who are listening can understand and probably venture into at least having the conversation to look at the education system to get that ball rolling. I want to thank you so much, Mitch McClatchy, for coming in and talking to us about disruptive leadership. I've learned a lot today. And let's hope we can continue the conversation at another time so we can get really in-depth into it.
All right. Thank you so much, Duska. Have a happy International Women's Day again.
Thank you so much.
You.
Same to you.
All right. Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.